The Righteous Made Perfect, a podcast where we discuss faith, life, ministry, and what it takes to be the people of God made perfect through faith. A few months back, we were studying through the books known as the Pastoral Epistles. Those are the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus that deal with ministry and dealing with working with church members and planning churches and how to teach and how to order things and structure things in the churches. There's a lot of lessons that are learned there, but there are two big lessons that I took away from this study that I wish I would have learned when I began ministry over 22 years ago now. And recently I was talking to some other ministers. They were asking, what advice would you give to a new guy? And I'd say, read the pastoral epistles or those letters from Paul to Timothy and Titus and read them and read them and read them. Make notes. Notice the themes that pop up over and over again. And there are two that pop up quite commonly. And these are some that are very important and a lot of times would really be helpful in practical ministry today. The first one of the two is Paul is insistent over and over in both letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, that Timothy avoid foolish controversies. In fact, in 2nd Timothy, we'll start there, chapter 2, verse 23, he says, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. He says, you know that they breed quarrels. And he says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, and correcting his opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. And so one of the things that Paul tells Timothy is you're going to be tempted as a minister, you're going to be tempted in ministry, you're going to be tempted as a church member to try and get into arguments. People are going to want to pick sort of fights with you over doctrine, over religious things. What a crazy thing to fight over is our faith and over God and how we worship God. But we see it throughout the religious world that this happens quite often. And what it's done for a lot of people, it makes them very cynical about faith. One of the things that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, he said in chapter 17 there around verse 20, as he shifts his prayer from his apostles, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. And he says that they may all be one as you and I are one. And he says one of the reasons that he wants his followers, the followers that would learn and believe through the word of the apostles, that's all the Christians, that they would be one so that the world may believe that you sent me. I'm convinced that a lot of people give up on faith. They give up on the church where they're at because they've been embroiled in one of these silly controversies. You know, what does this word mean? What color does a carpet need to be? That's one of the famous, you know, stories that we normally use. I've never been in a carpet color fight, but apparently they have existed. But we may choose other things to fuss about that may seem very important. Sometimes it's words. This word means this. I remember a well-meaning brother many years ago catching me after a sermon, and he said, do words matter? And I said, well, I believe they do. And he said, well, he said, you know, he said, you said this in your sermon, and I had mentioned that the Bible has over 40 writers, or I use the term authors. And he said, they're actually writers, they're not authors. The author is the Holy Spirit. And while he's correct, I mean, technically, you can look at the word author, and the author is the source of something, and the writers themselves would have been the authors of at least the words they penned, and there's certainly personalities certain personal characteristics we can see in the text. I was a young preacher at the time. I just sort of said, you know, okay, I didn't try to make that case with him. Now I understand, you know, I understand the distinction he was making, but at the end of the day, it really isn't that big of a distinction, as long as we clearly understand. And in the sermon, I had put forth the idea that the text was inspired of God and sourced from the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a little earlier than where we're just reading in verses 14 through 17, he says, charge them before God not to quarrel about words. You know, sometimes we may get in some silly quarrel about what does this song mean this? Does this song mean that? And by the way, I think the truth is important. Before anyone says, oh, you don't think the truth is important, hang on to the end of this podcast. But he says, don't quarrel about words. And notice what he says here, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. And then he says in verse 15, the verse we all know, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And he says, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead more and more people into ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. When there's some silly controversy about the meaning of a word, or about, you know, should we sing this particular line in a song, or should this happen this way, you know, so many times what it ends up doing is only harming the faith of some. It does no good. And that's not my opinion. That is Paul's advice to Timothy from the Spirit of God. Down in back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, you know, Paul said, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspensions, and constant friction among people. And, you know, we see that happen so many times, that someone has studied an issue and I've really come to an understanding of this. You know, there's a puffed up nature to it, as Paul describes it there. There's a conceit that is embedded in their understanding of whatever doctrine or text they're going to expound to all of us, and they're ready to go to war on that. And Paul says, you know, that this is a person that just sort of brings in some novel or new or their own understanding of something, and he says they just don't agree with the sound, the healthy, that's what the word sound means, the healthy words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is pretty straightforward, plain, and easy to understand. And when someone comes in with some newfangled idea or some idea that doesn't sound right, but they're very arrogant about it and they want everyone to agree with them, well, you got to be really careful about that. Now, just in case you think I don't endorse the truth, someone says, oh, we've got to stand up for the truth. Absolutely. Notice what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, there at the last of that letter. He says in verses 1 and 2, I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ. Now jump to verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. It's the gospel. It's the message of the word of God that we preach, and that message alone. But in doing so, we can't allow ourselves to be drug into these petty, silly controversies that do no good but only harm the hearer. Now, here is the second thing I got from those pastoral epistles that would be very valuable in our ministry. And number one is avoid those foolish controversies. But number two, notice what he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. There's the second lesson. If you go through 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus and just notice how many times Paul tells these ministers, these preachers of the gospel, to be patient. Down in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 4, after he tells him to preach the word, he says in verse 5, he says, as for you, notice this, always be sober-minded and endure suffering. Now, enduring suffering, that's the idea of being long-suffering. That's the idea of being patient. And what he's telling Timothy is that when we're trying to teach the gospel, when we're trying to work with human beings who by nature are affected by their temptations and then they've been stung by sin, the fact of the matter is we're not always going to agree, and sometimes there's going to be some differences of opinion, but we have to do two things. Number one, we have to be patient. We have to endure that suffering. Number two, he says, be sober-minded. And what that means is don't let your emotions get welled up within you where you lose your head or you say things you shouldn't say or you get involved in some silly controversy. Have the wisdom to stop that. Have the wisdom to shut those sort of things down when you see them coming. And you do that because as a servant of the King, you're patient, and your primary goal at the end of the day is that the Word of God be taught and be respected. And so the message for the podcast today is pretty simple. As we seek to study and know the Word of God, there are going to be times we come to junctures in the road where we disagree with others. We may disagree with the person teaching the Bible class. We may disagree with our preacher. We may, as preachers, I am a minister, I have disagreements with other ministers. The song leader may lead a song, and we may think, well, I don't really like the meaning of that song. That song could be construed. And by the way, some of our songs have doctrines embedded in the text that in my mind are not, you know, in accordance with the gospel. And we need to be very generous, I think, when we encounter these things and not try to beat the song leader over the head, because number one, he may not have known. There may not have been any ill intent. Number two, it might be the case that that language could be viewed through another filter that would accord with the scriptures. And, you know, we got to be careful about these things. And so let's not get in these arguments over words. Let's not get in these foolish controversies. And number two, when we run into these sort of things, let's strive to have patience. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And at the end of the day, extending patience to our fellow man is an act of love, recognizing that they need patience because they're an imperfect person. And in turn, I need patience because I as well am an imperfect person. May our God bless you.